Hello, and welcome to another episode of Socialistic Social Media Agency Stories. My name is Jason Yormark, and we have another terrific guest today. We're going to talk about the power of storytelling, and I am a huge advocate of that. A lot of what we do is all about telling stories, so I am excited to have Jeffrey Klein from Nine Dots. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate being here.
Absolutely. Well, let's just jump right in. Let's start like I do with most of my guests. Just give us a little bit of a background. What have you been doing, past, present, future, all that good stuff?
Well, it depends on how far you go back, but I've had a fairly nonlinear career. So I worked for a marketing genius named Seth Godin. Was my first job out of college.
Oh, nice.
I then went back to law school. I've got a legal family history. People joke I was a law school dropout because I left after my second year and moved to California. I had a dream to work in the film industry, which I fulfilled. I worked in the industry for 6 years, once at a talent agency. My first job was in the story department, which seems fitting, where I ended up reading a lot of bad screenplays. And then I went to go work for both the head of production at Paramount Pictures and then MGM and learned how movies got made. And it was awesome. I then met and fell in love with a beautiful girl who I ended up married and is now my wife. And we moved to her hometown, Manchester, England.
Oh, wow.
Where I started a real estate company because that's what my father-in-law did. And I did that for a number of years and was kind of frustrated. Eventually, I'm like, I got to get back to doing something more creative. So I worked for a design agency in Manchester, England. We then eventually came back to Philadelphia. I worked for a brand marketing agency. And then about 5 years ago, I started my own content production company. And we focus on visual content, so video, graphics, and animation. And my belief is that everything begins with the story.
Well I could probably sit here and talk to you for this entire episode about the movie stuff, because I was like a hair close to going down that path. I was in college and got accepted to film school and didn't do it because of a girl. And I always think about, man, if I had pulled that trigger, because I've always felt like that was like in an alternate universe. That's the other version of me is doing something in that regard. So that's awesome. And it certainly makes
sometimes feels like it was another universe.
Yeah, I bet. But so one interesting thing before we kind of jump into the story stuff, you know, obviously as an agency owner, I'm kind of just a little bit of curious about just kind of some highlights, lowlights, what you've learned in terms of starting an agency, what's worked, what hasn't. I think that's always good insight, not only for me, you know, selfishly, it's always interesting to hear that from other folks, but I think it's helpful for the audience to kind of hear a little bit about that journey and how that's shaped out for you.
Yeah. And it's evolved. So first of all, you know, I've been in business almost 5 years and I still think of myself as a startup.
Yeah.
And you know, I do keep kind of a lean, mean, fighting machine, company. One of the things that has changed and what I've learned is, that focus is important. And at least it has been for me. When we started, I'm like, what do you need? You know, and so, because I didn't want to turn business away. So we literally did everything from brand strategy to social media, logo, website, SEO. And I basically would partner with people based on what my clients needed. And two things emerged as I kind of grew. And one was, I don't like all of that. Like, there's elements of marketing that don't get me excited. And having been in an industry that I didn't like and coming to one that I do love, finding out what you really like to do is really important, because I think A, you're happier, and B, you produce better work because you're working on projects that are meaningful to you. And so when I do an animation, you know, and I'm a producer, I'm not an animator, let me make clear, but when I'm in the process of either doing video or doing animation, I love it. It you know, it gets me excited, you know, creating that and crafting that story. So I think that when some agencies are trying to grow and scale, it can be a challenge if they're trying to, you know, take on too much. And so you spread yourself too thin and you end up, you know, getting diluted. And so therefore you're doing a couple different things, you know, okay, as opposed to really being that subject matter expert in what you do. Now, at the same time, as a producer, you have to know your strengths. So I'm not a technical, you know, person in terms of, I'm not a designer. I'm not, you know, an animator. But I have a really high creative sense. I'm a writer. And so when you think about story, even though I do visual content, everything starts with the story and often the script of what we're going to create. And I think that's really important to understand when you're starting something. And so, you know, we do a lot of execution, but it's also important, no matter what you're doing, to think about the strategy and the business objective you're trying to solve and you're trying to accomplish. Because I think a lot of people just go, and that planning can really help.
Yeah. In terms of your agency, kind of where are you at as an agency? Are you still working in the business? Like, do you actually do the work, or have you kind of built out a team to the point where you're working on the business and not so much in it? I'm just kind of curious that your dynamic.
Yeah. I would call it a hybrid. Mm-hmm. So I have a team of animators and designers that do the execution. Mm-hmm. I still am involved in every project, you know, as the producer. And I'm usually also the point of contact. So I work with my wife, and she does all the back end stuff and invoicing and things like that. Yeah. And then I have, you know, another bookkeeper who, and, you know, I have all the other kind of professional things, my lawyer and things like that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the projects that we do and the clients that I serve, I'm still the face. And I think it's important for us as a small business, because when they're deciding to work with us, I'm a big reason why they are. Mm-hmm. Now, what they don't realize is part of the reason they're working, you know, my skill is also making sure that my creative team can deliver what they need to do.
Yeah.
And so I always talk myself as I'm kind of the interpreter between the business side and the creative side. And that's, again, focusing on that's what I'm good at, and kind of taking a project from the beginning, you know, and making sure it's both on strategy, on brand, and then delivers what the client needs.
Gotcha. What's the biggest piece of advice that you would give somebody that's starting an agency or thinking about starting an agency? Is there something that stands out more than anything that maybe you learned the hard way or just naturally was able to bring to the table that allowed you guys to be successful? Is there something that kind of stands out that you would advise folks to be thinking about when they're kind of taking that leap?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I'd written a blog about, you know, you are the sum of you're the average of the people you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. So I think it's not, you know, there are lots of people who can do a specific task, you know, or a specific skill, but you need to find people that align with your values and align with your sensibility. And so I think, again, even though someone, you know, there are animators out there who are really talented, but they don't fit with my vision of how I want the process or the delivery or the style, although there's a variety of styles. So I think people is the thing, you know, and relationships. I think that's the one thing I would say. You know, I was talking with someone on LinkedIn Live, and he talked about, you know, ROI. Everyone talks about ROI. And he came up with ROR, which is return on relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I think the one piece of advice is you want to leverage, nurture, develop those relationships that are going to, you know, whether it's your tribe, however you want to describe it. I think it's really important to find, you know, people that are going to help you achieve what you want to achieve. And it may be clients, it may be partners. But I was, for a while, was a really big fan of Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V. And, you know, he said, you know, the conventional wisdom, which is, you know, work on things that you're not good at. Like, I need to work on this. I need to work on that. I believe and ascribe to you double down on your strengths. Mm-hmm. So you, whatever you're good at, really lean into that and get great at it. And then those things you're not so good at, have other people do them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's enough support systems, whether it's a VA or you bring on a junior person to do whatever it is. My advice is A, build and nurture those relationships and focus on what you love and are good at.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I've gotten to the point where I've surrounded myself with people that run the business. You know, it's my job to kind of be the face of it and, you know, do things like this, you know, do podcast episodes and create great content and stuff like that. So that's awesome. So let's dive a little bit into storytelling, which I'm super passionate about personally and professionally. You know, every time we come across clients, I'm looking for the bones or just like the early makings of a story with a client. Cause I always tell them, like, if you don't have interesting stories, you know, if you have boring products or services, or if there's not, you know, a compelling reason why you do what you do, you know, all the marketing in the world isn't going to make much of a difference. So there's a lot of time and investment that has to go into figuring out what that is and telling those stories over time. Cause, you know, storytelling goes back to the beginning of time. You know, everybody gravitates towards that. And I think a lot of businesses fail miserably at it, which is why agencies like ours exists because we help them with it. So let's just kind of dive into, you know, how do you, when you're kind of engaging with a client for the first time and jumping in, like how do you frame up those conversations and how do you determine where stories exist, how to develop them, or at the very least, talk to potential clients about the importance of storytelling?
Yeah. So I, as a speaker, and I gave a TEDx a couple of years ago on the power of story. Mm-hmm. And for me, there's the, I have a keynote I do called the science of story. And so I often share with people the scientific reason why story is so powerful.
Yeah.
And it's how our brains work and how we relate when, what happens when we hear a story, as opposed to what a lot of businesses do, which is talk about their features and benefits and that kind of information. Mm-hmm. And lots of studies have been done about the fact that when you incorporate that data into a story, you're going to be much better able to explain and have people understand it, and much more likely for them to remember it. And if you're marketing and you're a new business or whatever business you're in, those two things are pretty critical for people to know your value proposition, understand what you're talking about, and then to remember you so that they pick you versus someone else who they didn't remember. So, and I think as an agency owner approaching a client or a potential client, the most important part in terms of extracting those stories is being curious, asking lots and lots of questions. Mm-hmm. Because I think the business people sometimes, you know, they think they know what they know. They don't know what they don't know. And so my job is to try and be an excavator, you know, an explorer, maybe an archaeologist of their story. Mm-hmm. And the place I often start is, how do you help people? You know, what is the problem you solve for your clients? And that's where, you know, so if you think about case studies are great ways to tell your business story, because it always starts with a client who comes to you with a problem. You then have to express, you know, how you fixed it. And that's a way that people can relate, and you can tell it in a narrative form rather than saying we are the best or we do this. And I developed a specific tool called the StoryPad that any business can use. And it's really simple. So first of all, I always think that, you know, when you're telling a story, I believe in the kind of Aristotle foundation. You need a beginning, middle, and end, maybe coming from the, you know, movies where that's, you know, you have the three act structure. Mm-hmm. People can break it, but only if you're, you know, a genius like Chris Nolan or something of that. You know, for the most part, people should stick to the script and stick mm-hmm. to the three act structure. So I developed something called the Story Pad, PAD, and the PAD represent the beginning, middle, and end of the story. So the P is the problem or pain of your customer, because as I like to say, no one cares about what you can do. They only care about what you can do for them. So when you start with the pain or the problem, you're immediately connecting to those people who need you, you know, your services. I often cite, you know, personal injury attorneys who, when you see their ads and they're, I'm not a huge fan of them, but they do this really well. Mm-hmm. Have you been injured in an accident? That's a problem right away. And if you have been injured in an accident, that's going to resonate with you. So then you get to the middle of the story, which is the A, which is the answer to that problem or your services, your product or service. So you have a problem and now, hey, guess what? We can help you with it with this tool, this strategy, this, you know, service that we provide. And that's where a lot of people stop. So again, it's, you know, like you've been injured in an accident and we can, you know, and our legal services can help. The D, which is the end of the story, is about the difference or the impact it makes on their business or their life. And I think that's a critical piece that some businesses forget to tell. So it's like, you have a problem, we have the solution. And if you use this, this is what's going to happen. These are the results beyond the immediate, like, we're going to fix this issue. What's the bigger difference and impact it's going to make? And so we use that structure in a lot of the animations that we do. And I get it. It's simple. We're not, you know, don't try and overcomplicate things. Mm-hmm. The simpler you make it, it'll be easier for you to communicate it and easier for someone to digest and appreciate it.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. Do you come across, I would imagine, I know that we do to a certain extent, you come across maybe new opportunities or you come across businesses that have varying degrees of stories to tell. Like, you know, some that just have an incredible framework with which to work with. And then some that are just like, There's not a lot here to work with. Like, I'm just kind of curious what you've experienced and what you guys do as an agency. Do you tend to kind of walk away from situations where a client maybe just doesn't have a whole lot of depth, or do you just see that as a bigger challenge and you kind of have to dig deeper? I'm just kind of curious how you deal with varying degrees of the types of opportunities that come your way.
Well, it's interesting. When I pitch in networking meetings and things, one of the things I say I'm looking for is people who have a challenge explaining what they do. Mm-hmm. So they have a complex business, because the nature of creating the story is to be able to tell it in a way that people will understand. So that, well, you know, and we talk about explainer videos, that's mm-hmm. what we're doing. We're taking that information and making it digestible by putting it in the framework of the story. So we've worked with clients who don't have something that I would call, you know, is not necessarily appealing on its mm-hmm. own, you know. So we have a client who does, you know, vehicle lock accessories.
Yeah.
So not exact something that you're going to go, oh man, this is going to be exciting. And we've created a series for them, and these little stories are awesome for them. It's a B2B play, and so we're basically taking the story of how they help people in terms of the use case, the end use case of what their technology does. So I don't shy away from any of those kinds of things. I think in some ways they're almost easier in some ways because they're so complicated. The challenge, yes, it's a challenge, but it's an opportunity. And mm-hmm. it's an opportunity to be like, okay, let's dig in and let's strip back some of these, the jargon and some of these things. And if we can explain to someone who's in your target audience in a way that they're going to get it and want to, you know, understand it, that's, I love doing that. And I think that's some of the beauty is when you can take something, that's where I think we thrive. We take something complicated and we simplify it so that people can understand and then engage with the content, with the message.
What are some of your, obviously the web and social media and technology is evolving all the time. What are you like as a passionate storyteller? Like what are the technologies or platforms that you see that excite you the most in terms of opportunity around being able to tell stories that resonate with people?
That's actually an easy answer for me because it's something that I'm getting more and more excited about, although I haven't found the tool because mm-hmm. there's them. But for me, it's interactive video mm-hmm. because then what you're doing is you're involving the audience. And I think that's that engagement. So I saw a video where it was talking about what happens if someone young has a heart attack. And so they actually have the video play. You see the guy fall and then it asks you a question. You know, what should you do? Mm-hmm. Call 911. Just prop them up on the sofa. And so they're taking you through the story. You're a part of the story. And that kind of decision tree, should you do this or should you do that, I think is important in two ways. One, this was an educational thing. So you're learning by being involved in that story. But also it's a way of taking your buyer through the journey to make sure they end up where they want you to. So if you have several things that you're trying to do, it's a good way to kind of vet and pre-qualify
people. Yeah.
So, you know, you have your kind of workflow and your flow chart, and it's like, okay, do you have this problem? You do? Great. Let's go into this one. Do you have this problem? And so you can do things in that way where I just think it's compelling. And I think, again, people, what they've shown with some of the studies they've done, people are spending a lot more time on these videos because they want to find out what's going to happen. And if they're structured well, people want to find out what's going to happen in the end.
So basically what you're saying is that we're incorporating the choose your own adventure books from my youth into a digital environment. I love those books.
Exactly.
I loved those
as
books.
As did I. Yeah. And why? Because we had control, or
right.
the perception that we had control.
Yeah.
But I think that's the thing is that at the more, you know, everyone talks about being customer centric, you know, and making sure that we're thinking about the person at the other end. And this is, I don't think you can get any more so when they get to click where they go next.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, that choose your own adventure video is going to be, it's going to grow. It's going to blow up. There's a bunch of tools out there. They're kind of expensive at the moment, but I think as that changes and then I think as people recognize how powerful they are, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I love that. What if I were a business owner listening to this and I'm like, you know what, I like what I'm hearing here. I really need to be thinking about, you know, what we're doing when it comes to telling our stories. What's some advice that you would give for maybe a business owner or somebody that's not there yet? What are some of the things that they should be thinking about or preparing themselves for prior to maybe kind of engaging with an agency? What are some helpful things that'll kind of get them, you know, kind of get the ball rolling for them and coming in with the things kind of a little bit farther along than maybe they wouldn't be?
I think one of the place to start is A, make sure you understand who your audience is. Mm-hmm. Because it's great to create content, but if you're not sharing it with those that matter, then you just wasted all your time. So try and understand who are your best clients. And that's going to be critical for when you develop it. In terms of thinking about your story itself, you know, I would think about, again, case studies.
Yeah.
Think about writing case studies in terms of what was the problem that they came to you with, how did you help them, and what was the impact? Mm-hmm. And having those down, because then you have the blueprint, you know, the outline for those for creating that content. And I think, again, it goes back to I'm a brand guy. So it's all about, you know, how you kind of differentiate yourself. So I think, you talked about, I think in the very beginning, the kind of start with why, the Simon mm-hmm. Sinek, which I'm a big fan of. So I think, again, businesses of any size and shape need to think about what makes them different. And why do they do what they do?
Yeah.
Because plenty of people who are going to do the specific things, the what, but the why is going to be what makes you stand out.
Yeah. I love that. Well, I would be amiss to not ask you, you said in your bio, so I'm going to put you on the spot. You said you are a gadget enthusiast. You said gadget and cufflinks. So I'm not a cufflink guy. So we're going to focus on gadgets. I ask everybody this because again, for my own selfish reasons, I love hearing about this. So being a gadget enthusiast, what is a gadget that you've been using lately that you just adore, can't get enough of, one of your favorite things recently?
I default, and I've had it for a little while, and I want to get a different one, but it's the drone. So we do drone video for people, mm-hmm. and I have a drone operator who that's what he does, and he's a professional, and he does it. But I'm a drone enthusiast, mm-hmm. and I love it. I love, you know, it's just you get a perspective you wouldn't otherwise get. So even when I fly it above my house, I think it looks awesome. Mm-hmm. I think it's really cool. We've done a couple family things where we've had the drone up high, and then it circles around, and it comes down. And then we give our birthday message to the person. That's so, awesome. Cause it's just people are like, what's going on? And mm-hmm. I take the drone with me everywhere I go. And in fact, I took it on a video shoot recently just to have it. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll do something. You know, we weren't planning to do any drone video. And it turns out it was, you know, a hardware reseller and the building wasn't that exciting. And so I was like, I guess we're not going to drone this. But when we went inside, it turns out they had a 7,000 square foot warehouse. So I ended up taking some drone inside the warehouse that ended up coming and looking really cool. So you just, you know, again, it just gives you a perspective. And I think anything that can bring, so when you think about things that time lapse, slow mo, mm-hmm. boomerangs, all these little kind of unique ways of showing video and the drone, I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that footage is just so fascinating. I've thought about this. It's just a matter of time, like with the world of influencers, that the technology is going to reach a point where people have their own like personal drone, and that's what will be like shooting them. Like they'll be going working out, and they're just going to have a drone that's kind of instead of like the selfie and the selfie sticks and all of that. Like it's just going to be like your own personal drone, and it's tied to your phone or whatever, and it just knows where to be, and it's capturing all your stuff. Like I guarantee that is going to be a thing in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years, and you're going to see them all over the place like that.
They do. The drone that I have the DJI Spark, which is mm-hmm. the little one, and it has a tracking ability.
Yeah.
So it can be, I can go for a run and mm-hmm. it will follow me.
Oh, see, it's already here. It's already here.
So there's already that ability to have it follow you around.
Yeah.
Which is a little scary.
Yeah. Scary, cool, but scary. True.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, this was some fantastic stuff in a short period of time. I really love everything that you shared today. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wanted to add that you feel like might wrap things up or you didn't want the audience to miss out on?
Yeah, I guess I think, you know, whether you use a professional or not for whatever you're going to be doing, you just want to start to shift to think, what's the story I can tell? And, you know, you said you're talking, what's your story? I think you just need to shift your mindset in business to realize that story is the best way to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, how are you using that to further your message?
Yeah. No, I could not agree more. So I'm glad that our paths crossed and another champion of story, because I'm always, I don't know that I can do it as eloquently as you. So I'm really glad. I feel like this is going to be one of those episodes that I'm going to be referencing. You know, I've always said, like, the podcast for us doesn't necessarily create leads as much as it cultivates them. So I know that I'm going to be on future calls where I'm talking about them. Like, actually, you know what? Go listen to this episode. This is really going to help you kind of understand the importance of story. So thank you so much for being on the show. Really good stuff. Where can people find you and learn more information?
First of all, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
For sure.
I love having these conversations, and I love talking with fellow champions of story.
Yeah.
The best way to reach out to me is there's two places. ggkline.com is my speaker and kind of professional presenter.
Mm-hmm.
And then 9dotsmedia.com is my visual content creation. So those links will give you all the social media, there, you know, and everything else you could need. And then you can just reach out to me. That's if someone has a question or wants to reach out to me, it's my name, Jeffrey with a G, at 9dotsmedia.com.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure that we get all that information in the show notes. So make sure that you check him out and learn more. Thanks again for being on the show. Awesome stuff. And thank you to those listening. Make sure you do that thing. You know it. Subscribe, listen, share, all that good stuff. Thank you for listening. And we will catch you in the next episode of Socialistic Social Media Agency Stories.